going to tell you this. We're going to a loud heaven too. Amen. We sure are. Jude. It's going to be hard not to say chapter 1, but it only has one chapter. So the book of Jude, chapter 20, or verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear. Some have compassion. It makes a difference. Others, you have to save with fear. Do you see that? Does that make sense? How many people in here heard hell preached hot when you was a kid? How many people thought that was scary? I don't want to be burned. Do you? Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You can be seated. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to preach to you for just a few minutes about the church, about the power that we have. I believe very actively, with great resolve, that the hour that we live in, we need a church who knows who they are. I believe that we need to have a church in this day that knows who they are. A church that is so confident in who she is that she's not in identity crisis. A church assured of their identity, that they're not burdened, listen to this, with the idea of trying to fit in with the surrounding culture. I want to say that again. A church that understands what she is called to, and no matter what culture she is surrounded in, she's not burdened with the idea of having to try to fit into that culture. I don't know why we're trying to fit in when we were called to stand out. I don't know why we're so concerned about hurting the sinner's feelings. Because I just want to go ahead and tell you, they didn't care to hurt my feelings when I was a sinner. Can I get an amen? We have become so nice and so kind that we have forgot the truth that we need to share with people. The church, listen real close, is the most powerful entity on this planet. The church that I belong to, that I've been born into, is the most powerful entity on this planet. And if we are part of the most powerful entity on the planet, then we don't need to fit in. They need to fit in. I learned a long time ago that Jesus didn't fit into my life. I had to make my life fit into him. I have been accepted into the beloved. He accepted me into his beloved. Can I preach for a minute? I went to church my whole life, and I sat in pews, and I heard the preacher say, all you've got to do is accept Jesus into your life. I don't read that anywhere in scripture, but I found out he accepted me into the beloved. This is a work of grace by him. It's by grace I'm saved through faith, that not of myself. It's a gift of God. It is a gift of God. I'm born into this church. Man, there's a lot of powerful entities on this planet. Ain't there? I'd say SpaceX is probably a pretty powerful entity. Wouldn't you say? NASA, I know some of y'all flat earthers and stuff are like, they're not even a real preacher. But man, when we think about it, those are pretty powerful entities. Our federal government is a pretty powerful entity, wouldn't you say? If you don't believe it, stop paying your taxes. See what happens? See how that goes for you? Be a conscientious objector? See how that goes? See how powerful they really are? Very powerful. But I found out I'm part of an entity that is more powerful than SpaceX. Because one day I'm going to leave this earth and I don't even need a rocket. I don't even need a booster. Speaking of boosters, I'll leave that alone. I don't need any of that because I'm part of the most powerful entity on this planet. If you have been born into the church, you do not have to be apologetic about it. Amen. Amen. I love the way Jason O'Neill says it. When I'm at work and they tell a dirty joke, I don't have to laugh because I'm not part of that entity. They try to make me feel uncomfortable. I'm perfectly fine with standing stone face and making them uncomfortable because it's my entity that they need to try to fit into. I don't need to try to fit into their entity. It's not about making the gospel cool. He never asked us to be cool. As a matter of fact, he asked us to be hot and be on fire. And we need a church that knows what she's called to. There was a time in my Christian walk early on, I was a little reserved about what I believed. Anybody with me? People would say things. I was like, man, I don't want them to think I'm weird. I know they don't think what I think, and I know they don't go along with what I go, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to bother them. Now that I know, that I know, that I know, I don't have a problem sharing my faith with people around me, because what kind of person would know that this works and it's going to get you into heaven would keep that to themselves and not tell people the truth in love? What kind of person would do that? I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, but thank God also to the Greek. I'm glad he included me into the church, and I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. I'm his bride. Oh. Man, do we know who we are? I believe we need a church that Jesus described. He said, upon this rock, he said, I'll build my church and the gates. I'll tell you something about the gates. The gates of the city was where decisions were made. It was at the gate of the city where the government would gather and make decisions. Amen? It was at the gate of the city where the laws were enacted. So when the Bible says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates, the decisions of hell, the plans of hell, the laws of hell will not prevail against my church. You got to understand this. No matter what weapon hell forms against you, it will not prosper. Why? Because you are under the banner of love, and being protected under that banner, there ain't no devil in hell can overtake the one that put you in his church. Are you part of the church? Are you born again? Are you filled with the Spirit? Hell can't overcome you. So why are we ashamed of where we are? Let me get back to my sermon. We got some power. And because we got power, we need to recognize that power. Can you say amen? In these few verses that I read you from this small book in the Bible, there's a couple things I want to talk to you about. First of all, verse 20, the power of prayer. Well, preacher, I tell you, they took prayer out of schools. They can't take prayer out of nothing. Can I say that again? As long as there's a prayer, there is a prayer. Amen? You know what's really awesome about praying? They don't even have to know you're doing it. As a matter of fact, that's how the Pharisees prayed anyway, out in front of everybody. Man, we've got a weapon that they don't even know that we're using. They don't even have to know we're using it. I'm praying for people right now. They don't know when I pray, but I believe that prayer is going to accomplish something because there's power in prayer. And you know why I got that weapon? Because I'm part of the church. And because I'm part of the church, there's some things that come with it. There's power in prayer. Why aren't we praying more? If there's power in prayer, we need to be praying effectually. We need to be praying fervently. Why? Because I really do believe the time is short. Amen. Man, I've been hearing end time stuff since I was a kid. I remember the deal with us and Russia the first time through. Can I get an amen, old people? All you young people, y'all don't know. Y'all don't know what it was to listen to them preachers preach about end time. Oh, yeah, yeah, amen. I was a kid knowing that Jesus loved those that loved his appearing, wouldn't go to sleep looking out the window. If he comes tonight, I'll be looking. I thought it was that close. The Cold War went on for years. The Cuban Missile Crisis. Can I talk to you for just a minute? What it was to live in the 80s with Stretch Armstrong. And Jimmy Swaggart and Jack Van Impey and all those. It was scary times. Gog and Magog and the War of Armageddon. This is the last war. World War III will be nuclear. 2/3 of the population will die. Is anybody with me? I was like, man, alive. I had a guy. Well, I'll tell you, my dad looked at me and said, you're the last generation. He said, the world won't stand long enough for you to have kids. That's how good they preached it, man. 88 Reasons for 88. That was a book. Because 88 reasons, 88 was coming. Jesus was coming back in 1988. Anybody remember? Anybody remember? That book, look it up. You can Amazon it. It's probably on sale now. Real cheap right now. 88 reasons for 88 went on sale. January 1st, 1989. The reason it was is because Israel became a nation in 48. Generations, 40 years, they just knew it was coming. Well, Dad, I had kids, and my kids done had kids. I hope I'm around long enough to see Sophie's kids. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. So let me tell you where I'm at right now. When Trump says he's moving nuclear submarines toward Russia in strategic places, my mind goes back to Van Impey. Roxella said, Jack, the blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle. It's going to be wonderful, Jack. No, Jack, it's not. It's going to be horrible, Jack. I don't know what's coming, but I know this, no matter what comes, I'm safe. I said, Sam, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know this, I found a hiding place. I got a place of safety. It's in his church. It's being part of his church. He said, I won't let any bone of my church be broken because I'm bone of his bone. I'm safe. Safe. Because I'm part of his church, Darren, my prayer does something. Even when I don't see it, he's working. So here's the problem with being part of this church. I can go around Raleigh County, and I can almost guarantee you that if I see a set of cabinets, Lindsay, I can tell the ones that Kelly Bowman builds. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because of that end panel. You know the end panel I'm talking about? He puts that end panel on all of his cabinets. Again, Kelly Bowman built those cabinets. I can tell by the end panel. Because when somebody builds something, it takes on the characteristics of the builder. So if Jesus is building the church, then the church has to take on some characteristics of the architect. Amen? So here's what I hope, Perry. I hope that if the Apostle Paul would walk in this room without being able to understand a word we said, but by the Spirit, I hope that he could recognize and say, they still got it. That's the same Spirit. That's the same thing that was moving in my day. I want to be characterized by the architect. I want to be characterized by my builder. And if he's building this church, we sing about it. We sing about a wonder-working rebel priest. But I'm going to tell you right now, if we're part of that wonder-working rebel priest church, we're going to be that way as well. Now listen, if you are a Secret Service Christian and you are undercover, this sermon is not for you. Some people keep it under wraps. You ever been around one of them chameleon Christians? Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When they're around you, praise Jesus. And then you see them around somebody else, and they just morph into something that they're around. Come on, anybody, if you don't know them, that might be you. They just start morphing into whatever they're around. God didn't call us to be that. Because let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't morph at all. He didn't try to blend in with the culture at all. So listen, if you want to be part of an entity that's not willing to make waves, then you don't want to be part of the church. That brings a little bit of controversy. Let me preach to you this. Jesus said, I came to bring division. Those words came out of his mouth. Because here's what I've learned. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to offend one and not offend the other. So you just got to make up which side you want to be on. Do you want to be part of his church or do you want to be outside of the church? Because outside of the church, there is no safety. There is no joy. There is no peace. There is no eternal life. There is no anointing. There is no bread. There is no water. There is no comfort. There's nothing outside of being part of his church. Verse 21, hurry, Damon, okay. Verse 21, love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Look at the person beside you and say, keep yourself in the love of God. Leave the R out. Yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. Because let me tell you what the devil wants to do. Remove you out of the love of God. Because outside of the love of God, you know what you feel? You feel like you're a failure. He wants to keep remove you from the love of God. Amen? Here, unwind that for me. I'm sorry. You can get them whatever they are. Keep yourself in the love of God. Let me tell you how to do that. Let's do this. How many people, I do this a lot, I ask you this a lot because I need you to be honest. How many people in here have messed up in your Christian walk within the last month? Let me tell you what the enemy does, Darren. Every time I mess up, he calls me a failure. Amen? How many of you ever played any kind of sport when you was growing up? You played a sport. What sport did you play? You wrestled? Did you ever shoot for a takedown and miss?
All the time.
Did you quit? Did you say, hey man, messed up. I tried, but I messed up. I'm done. I quit. I'm done. What'd you do?
Keep on trying.
You keep on trying. What sport did you play?
I didn't.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm sorry. What sport did you dream about playing? I played Yahtzee. Did you play sports? What'd you play?
Football.
Lineman. What position did you play?
You don't remember, it's been that long ago. Linebacker, cornerback.
Linebacker?
Cornerback, yeah.
Cornerback, corner. Did you ever miss a tackle?
Lots.
Did you play for Independence? Never mind. Did you quit just because you missed? No, you know what you did? You got back up. Listen, when we're striving for victory in the church, when we fall, we don't lay there. We get back up. Because we're not fighting from the stance of defeat. We're fighting from the stance of victory. But the only way we do that is know that the church is victorious. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I've heard this before. I read the back of the book. We win. What took you so long? I knew when he got out of the tomb, we win. I didn't have to get to the end. When he got up, I got up. And because he got up, you can get up. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. It matters how many times you get up. Amen? I hate tripping in front of people. If I trip by myself, I look around. Oh, no, not y'all. No, no, nobody else. Was y'all here the service when I tripped off this thing? Was y'all here? I was going down to pray for Eddie, and I stepped down on your foot, and when I did, it threw me forward, and I put my shoulder in Eddie's midsection. I drilled him. Dustin had to catch him. Said he didn't know what happened. Thought he caught the spirit.
Yes.
So when you fall, imagine falling in front of everybody. Some of y'all didn't see. You had your eyes closed. Good. Thank you. Some of you were worshiping. You weren't paying attention. Some of y'all just standing there with your hands in your pockets watching me. Shame on you. You should have never seen that. So could you imagine if I did? I said, well, I'm never going to go down the steps again. I may fall next week. But you know what? I'm going to get back up. Because there's something in me that tells me to get back up. Am I talking to anybody that knows what I'm talking about? See, he keeps me. He said, keep yourself in the love of God. That love comes from him. Darren, I've got it all figured out. He loves me. When I'm up, he loves me. When I'm down, he loves me. When I'm in, he loves me. When I'm out, he loves me. When I'm on fire, he loves me. When I'm cold, he loves me. When I stray, he loves me. What kind of love is that? Keep yourself in it. Watch this. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Robin, I got a job to do. I got a job to do. I've got a calling to do. My first calling is to feed the sheep. So if you aren't getting fed here, I would hate to see you go. But I'm more concerned about your soul than I am my ego. People all over the place sit in churches where they're not getting fed because they're loyal for the wrong reason. John Wesley, Porky used to send his preachers out, and they'd come back and he'd say, did anybody get saved? They'd say no. He said, did anybody get mad? They'd say no. He said, well, you're not called to preach. Because either people get saved or mad. So if you get mad here, it's good. It's good. It's okay if you get mad at me. Because I'm more concerned about your soul than I am my ego. What, you think I ain't never been mad at a preacher before? You think I ain't never got mad at my pastor before? How many of y'all has been mad at me? Don't raise your hand. I don't care. <laughs> Because it'd be only fair if I could say if I ever got mad at you, too. We're part of a body. And being part of that body, man, we're family. Amen? Because we've been begotten by the same one. Man, that's good stuff. We got a job to feed the sheep. And then we got a job for the sheep to go and multiply. Amen? Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. This is why you got to have the Spirit. Because not everybody you can talk to the same way. Go over and try to show Doug compassion. You've been trying for years, and I know you think you're making headway. Can I tell y'all a story real quick? I worked with his son for years. And we're going down the road one day, and I really think he was trying to get me. I think he was trying. He got me. He said, "Hey, man." I said, yeah, okay. We kept driving. He kept talking. I said, "You know what?" I let him have it for 45 minutes solid. I didn't let up. And when we got to work, he looked at me and he said, "I needed that." You remember that? He said, I needed that. See, some of y'all couldn't handle that. So, Robin said, "Nope." Some of y'all couldn't handle that at all. You know what we need to know? How to talk to people. You know what we need? Operate by the Spirit. Because sometimes we need to be honest with each other. Sometimes it's compassion. Man, I know what you're going through. Man, that's rough. I get you, man. I'm praying. I'm praying with you. Sometimes it's stop being a knucklehead and get your head in the game. Because the devil's, listen to this, listen. What was it Thomas said? The devil desires to sift you like wheat. I'm praying your faith don't fail you, boy. That don't sound real compassionate to me. That sounds like a warning. So compassion sometimes making a difference. But watch this. Then there's the others you save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We used to have this thing in our church, Robin. It was called pulling people out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me show you what pulling people out meant. Stand up, brother. Because I know you've been pulled out before. No, well, no, wait a minute. Go ahead and say it. Where's Mike Ferrucci? I've seen you. I've seen you get pulled out more than anybody I've ever met. For those of y'all that don't know, again, our visitors or our, show you what pulled out meant. It was worship time. And when it was worship time and you wasn't worshiping, somebody literally came and Johnny said, "Got you." Somebody came and got you. And man, sometimes they'd spin you in a circle. Sometimes they'd make you jump. But when you got pulled out, you was doing something. Sometimes they didn't just pull you out. They pulled you all the way to the altar, didn't they? Well, you can't do that. Some people don't come to church around us because they think we're going to pull them out. This is so nice. Come back next service. This thing you use, it will not look like this. He does this every time I use this rope. Pull them out. Let me tell you what happens when you go to pulling. You better be convinced. Because what's going to happen is sometimes you're going to get resistance. He said, pulling them out of the fire. You know what's crazy? Some people don't even know what they're headed toward. You're pulling on them. Turn around. Yeah. I'm like, buddy, come this way. Come this way. No, I like it over here. Listen to me really close. There are people in this room right now that are headed the wrong direction. You're looking that way. Let me tell you what repentance is. Repentance is if I can get them to turn around. Because once they turn to him, they're going to realize that way does not compare to this way. Them out. Listen, every time you pray a prayer, every time you keep yourself in the love of God, you know how many parents have given up because they failed and now their kids have nobody to pray for them because they didn't keep themselves in the love of God? Pulling them out of the fire. Even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Here's what's really awesome about this. Once I get him pulled out, and he sees what I see, guess what he's going to do? Go, who you want. This is good preaching right here. Because he went and got my boy. Oh, listen. Somebody needs to go get the preacher's kids. Are you hearing me? He's heard it from me his whole life. Sometimes I need somebody that has the same vision that says, I know. And then when he pulls him out, how do I do this? Sorry. I know. Now you got an in and you got an in. So guess what gets to happen? Now you both get to go pull somebody out. Go get them. Who you getting? You see how this works? Oh, this is elementary at this point, right? Now let me show you something. When he don't get it, we're in trouble. When we become self-centered religionists, and it's all about me and mine, and I've been blessed, and I'm so blessed, and if you're low, pray to God, he'll give you money, and if you're single, he'll give you honey, and all that kind of stuff. And it becomes all about you, and you forget that it's about somebody else, then the church loses momentum. And the church's job is to expand the kingdom. Come on, Aaron. So when you get cold on Jesus, it stops the momentum of the church. He said, you have hewn out cisterns that won't hold water. But what we need to be is wells springing forth unto everlasting life. You got to be careful, man. You ever been in a service, and man, the Spirit's moving, and then you feel that resistance? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, hallelujah, what just happened? This place died. Somebody's standing beside a cistern that won't hold water. They're overflowing with the well, and it just goes, whoop, gone. Because if you don't think this is a body ministry, you don't know your scripture. So then this thing multiplies. Y'all can sit down if you want, and you can fix your rope if you want. Others, saving with fear. Fear is a motivator, whether you want to believe it or not. I don't like to preach on hell and try to scare people to the altar. But again, fear is a motivator. If we get to him and then we learn him, what initially brought us is not what keeps us. Milton, I'm not afraid of hell because I ain't going there. I'm not nervous about hell. I'm not going there. I thought y'all be a little more excited about that. Hey, let me try it over here. Hey, Landon, I'm not worried about going to hell. I've done punched my ticket to miss that place. So I'm not concerned about it. I've heard people tell other people, see you in hell, man. No, you won't. No, you won't. It's eternal darkness. It's a bottomless pit. It's bottomless. It has no boundaries. It doesn't end. I don't like the restrictions. I don't like the boundaries of Christianity. If you don't like boundaries, then hell's the place you want to be. It's bottomless. No boundaries. Always falling. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. I wish I could scare you bad enough. But I want to tell you this. There's a way out. There's a way you don't even have to see that place. You don't even have to fear it. I'm not afraid of it because the blood of Jesus has made me clean. Not anything I did. It's what he did. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing a song. If you need to pray or you need prayer, I want to invite you to do that. We're going to have somebody stand in for Sherry Bowen here in just a little bit. Man, she's been through so much lately. Go ahead, Aaron. I'm so concerned about your soul because your soul is eternal. This joy that we have being part of the church is totally different than happiness. Because to be happy is hap. Something has to happen to make you happy. Well, something already happened, and it's eternal, and it doesn't have to happen again because it already happened, and I got joy in that place, Brother Eddie. I got joy in that place. If you need that joy, step out. Step out. Everybody in this room is rooting for you. Everybody in this room is on your side. Listen, I don't. Being a sinner don't make you a bad person. It makes you a person. You know who God saves? Persons. That's who he saves. He saves people. Come on, Aaron, sing a song. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to get ready to fire back up here. I gave you 3 seconds. You didn't say anything. Still ain't singing.
He's so good.